In this episode of Podcast Tactics, you will learn the secrets to successful solo podcasting. Hello, I'm James, the host of Podcast Tactics. Today's episode features solid practical advice from a seasoned podcaster who launched his show 15 years ago. Listen in and discover what it takes to solo host a very popular podcast. You'll also find out how to avoid common pitfalls that new and experienced podcasters run into. Make sure you join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com so you can keep learning how to podcast from other podcasters. Now, let's get into it. Joining me at the mic is veteran and longtime podcaster, Barely from Chicago, Illinois. Barely, thank you so much for carving out some time to have a conversation with me.
Well, thanks, James. I mean, it's good to be just doing podcasting and talking with other podcasters about podcasting. I wonder if I can use podcasting anymore in a sentence.
I often wonder that myself when I'm talking about my show, but this episode is not about my show. It's about your show. Let's start with that. What is the name of your show and what's it all about?
It's called Barely Podcasting, and it's just about stupid stuff in life. How am I a dork, pretty much? Just a lot of those kind of stupid stories that you have that come from just interrelating with other people or your family or something along those lines. And 3/4 of the time, I just look like an idiot. So I think everybody can relate. It's just, can your ego handle the fact that you're the one who's looking like an idiot, not someone else?
It's funny. I have a time machine segment, which we will get to in this show, but okay. I'm going to kick that off a little early, and we're actually going to go back in time this time.
Okay.
Let's start. When did you start your podcast?
I started February 3rd, 2006.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago. People have said, oh, well, you're part of the first generation of podcasters. And I disagree with that. I say the generation break happened when Apple iTunes put a podcast catcher onto iTunes, which was the summer of 2005. And so there were a lot of our podcasts already established at that point. And so I kind of was taking a cue off of them.
Mm.
And that's how I found out about podcasting. And I was like, I can do this. I think that's the infamous line of most podcasters. They hear someone's like, I can do it better than that jerk. So, and then you get into it and you're like, wait a minute, that guy's doing it better than me. I'm the jerk now.
It is a very humbling experience for sure. So let's talk about, you know, the inception or the origin story about your podcast and kicking it off way back in 2006. What caused that?
Well, my college degree is in audio video production. So everything that's dealing with podcasting, and like the mics, the stands, I always put that stuff together in college. Love doing it. I just couldn't find a job in it. So it was kind of something that went off to the wayside. And then I heard about podcasting. And at the time, my now ex-wife, she didn't want to hear the stories. And I'm kind of like, this is golden. And I listened to a show, he's now long since defunct, The Twisted Pickle by Corby out of Omaha. And he was just, would get in front of a mic and just tell stories. And I'm like, I could do that. I mean, when I sat down and kind of initially said, yeah, I could do that. Yes, I could do that. So I went through and just began trying to come up with a concept, a thought. What am I going to call it? And this was back really when podcasting was kind of a geeky thing and it wasn't as mainstream. Radio stations didn't have a podcast backup of their shows. And I was afraid shows or someone at work would find out about it. So I'm like, I will use my college fraternity nickname of Barely, because you can add anything on to the end of it. And drunk college guys do. So I was like, I can do Barely Podcasting. Hey, that's like a name. And so that's really how it all came about. I had no idea what I was going to do. I was just going to move forward and just see what was going to happen. And people began liking it.
Loving it.
Yes. Actually, they at one point started up a Wikipedia page for me. I had nothing to do with it. There were just little things that I used to do that they would just all of a sudden just start nailing it onto a Wikipedia page. And I was like, wow, I've got like somewhat of a following, which I mean, I'm a dork living outside of Chicago in a city full of dorks and idiots and jerks. And I mean, it's Chicago. We have an attitude.
Well, you had a pretty long run from the start of your show. How long did it go? And then go into your, I'm going to call it a hiatus. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I went exactly 8 years. I made it to February 3rd, 2014. And in the beginning, I was every week, religiously every week. I would go on vacation. I'd pre-record a show. And then life really got in the way. Even though it's a story about my life, a lot of life things got in the way where I couldn't just come down and record. And it just, I began noticing also that a lot of my stories got bitter.
Mm.
Instead of being funny or something like that, I was, when I stopped back in 14, I had just left a job that just really kind of ate me up inside. I was working for a lawyer who did family law, and I had just come through a divorce at the same courthouse that I was at every day, and had a couple of coworkers that just, we did not get along. It was oil and water. And I was very bitter. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't be the funny guy because the story's all turned as I was doing jabs onto these people. I mean, yes, there are stories that I do that incorporate other people, but it's sometimes being funny and sometimes being ironic. And sometimes it's just a little bit of venting, including one individual I have on my current job that I kind of, you can't not talk about this guy when it's 30 degrees out and he puts a fan on in the office. Or every time I walk into the office, he asks about the weather. Well, we have a window. You have a window right in front of your stinking computer. Look out it. But these were getting, what I was noticing in my show notes that as I was compiling them, they were just getting mean. And so I figured it was time to take some time off. And so I just paused. I kind of thought the show was done at that point. Everyone that I used to listen to had stopped. I was kind of one of the last people continuing on, but the passion wasn't there anymore. I had really burned myself out. So I stepped away. Ironically, I took my equipment down 2 years ago. I had it up for 5 years, just collecting dust. And I got a new desk and everything, and I would put it all back up. So it was all ready to go if I wanted to. But it just kind of collected dust and it hurt. I think it was like a part of me had kind of died when I'd stepped away.
Well, let's talk about the resurrection. When did that happen?
The resurrection actually started about a year ago. I was out to dinner with my wife on Valentine's Day of 2020. So right before the pandemic. And I was like, babe, I think I want to get the podcast going again. I'm feeling it. I just put away all the equipment and I want to bring it back out. I want to do it. And my current wife, my last wife, the one I'm sticking with for the rest of my life, she's always been really supportive of it. Because when we started dating and everything, she knew I was a podcaster. She saw me podcast. She actually told me recently, because she lived in Ohio and I lived here in Illinois, she would listen to my shows in essence as a way to kind of talk with me throughout the day. even though I didn't hear what she was saying. I was working, but she would listen to the shows and every so often. And we eventually had our own show for a little bit. So we're sitting down, nice dinner, and I'm talking with her about it. She's like, okay, start thinking about it. So I started kind of figuring, how am I going to get all the old episodes back? I need to get a new website. And I started looking into it, and the pandemic hit. And I was like, okay, I have to change all my thought process from working on the show to, how do I work, be able to work from home? How do I do this? Because now my wife and I are sharing an office. That's her desk right behind me with all the sports stuff, which is mine. But she kind of took over my man cave. We were sitting here, how do we work together? And some great stories happened in the middle of it. And it was just like, okay, I've got to write these down. I deliberately put them on my Facebook page so that I would remember. It's like, okay, in a year, this will pop up as a memory. And my appendix ruptured. I haven't mentioned this on the show, and I'm going to go into it. My appendix ruptured over the summer. And so, I mean, I was down for a while, and it kept kind of banging through my head, but I was too weak to do anything. So as the year kind of ended, I talked with her again. I'm like, I still want to do it. It's been a year. I still want to do it. She's like, okay, what's your start date? And I'm like, February 3rd, 2021. She said, why is that date? I'm like, that's my 15th anniversary. So it just, the passion came back, and I would look at just things around me again in that same light of, how am I an idiot? Or how is this just going just so wrong? And yet I still try to push through it. When it came back hard, and I rebuilt the website. I hosted before I did my break with Libsyn. And so I reached out to them, and they're like, we still have all your shows and all your stats.
Wow.
And they're like, we'll change it from an inactive file to a paused file. And then I'm like, okay. And I did this right at the end of January. And I'm like, can I flip it to active now? Because I have kind of a teaser promo. Like, yeah, go right ahead. And boom. So I was starting to get downloads in January, just before I relaunched, and looked at my old stats and everything. I was like, holy crap, did I have a lot of downloads? That part wasn't that difficult, because I was expecting I'm going to have to go through and ask them to do kind of a limit. Because with Libsyn, you're allowed so many uploads a month, mm-hmm. or depending on your service plan, not specific downloads, but how much space a month, and then they archive it. And the listener doesn't notice that at all. It just goes, in essence, from an active server to an inactive server, because you still get downloads off it, but not too many. And they just pulled it all back over. And I mean, it was just seamless. And I was thinking I was going to have to beg and plead with them to let me do 306 episodes to upload all at once. And they're like, oh no, we have them all right here. Just bring them right over.
That is so fateful. I mean, if anything was a sign that said you have the green light to continue on and reboot, that was it right there. So I know I'm about 2 months late to the party, but welcome back to the podcasting community.
Thank you. It is great to be back. I'm just loving being behind the microphone.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to have you back. And on that note, I'm going to talk about your reboot and the challenges that you may have encountered rebooting it. I mean, as far as the hosting situation was concerned, not a problem. But were there any issues that you ran into rebooting?
A lot of it, I think, has to do with marketing. It is a completely different way to do it now than when I initially did it. Because back in the day, all the podcasters, we all kind of listened to each other. And we were all, at least the group I hung out with, we were all similar style for the most part. I mean, there were some kind of oddballs here or there, but, and if any of them are listening, no, I'm the oddball. You were just not like the show I'm due. See, I still backtrack with everyone, every one of them, even though they're not podcasting anymore. But we would all have, it was a service out of Seattle called K7. And that gave you a straight voicemail line, straight to voicemail. You got to do an outgoing message and you had to at least have a call a month and it would keep your number. And we were calling. I mean, I called incessantly. There was one show that I know I called 15 times in an hour long episode. They would say something and I'd pause it. I'd call them. And it was like, oh, hey, this is Barely from Barely Podcasting. And, da, 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 da. And I got so well known that there were shows that I would hear new shows come out. And so I'd start listening and they would say, I know I've made it as a podcaster if Barely calls.
Oh, wow.
And it always made me think, well, there's my three that I want to do for me to say I'm really a podcaster. And none of them were ever, I want to call from someone. I want to be on this show. I want to win an award. I want to get X amount of downloads in a week, which I nailed all of them but one. And then that show's now defunct as well. So, but yeah, that guy is still podcasting. Ironically, we went to the same college. Never knew each other, but we went to the same college.
Well, let's talk about successes and let's frame it around the reboot of your podcast. How are you defining success for the podcast and what have you achieved?
I really had to scale back because I did have 8 years and 8 years of building and having this network and how do I market and everything. So I'm still learning kind of how do I do that in today's age. But so I scaled way, way, way back, even further back than I was initially, because I think one of my goals was to have 100 downloads in a week. And when I did that, I actually put out a special episode. I haven't hit that number yet. It's a lot smaller because I can't get to some of the old listeners. I created the podcast Facebook page too late and it might not be hitting people. And so that engagement is gone. So I've pretty much gone through and said, if I can get one download of my current episode every day for the week, that's a good goal. And I get it. And I've consistently gotten it. So I do know there's people out there. Of course, one of them is my mother, but and I'll get the phone call. Oh, that was such a nice episode. But why did you say that? I'm like, Mom, please. So yeah, I get one download from Mom. Yay.
Hashtag goals.
But it's minor goals like that. And really scaling back, not expecting that what I had 8 years ago is what I have today.
What is one piece of advice that you would give a podcaster who's just starting out or somebody who's interested in starting a podcast?
It's more what you shouldn't do. Don't expect that radio companies are going to come and say, hey, we want you on the air right now. Don't expect 1,000 downloads overnight. Set big goals. But don't set big goals early. Set intermediate goals. Like I said, one of my first kind of I've made it as a podcaster moments was when I got 100 downloads. That was episode 27. So I've been doing it 6 months before I could get to that number where the networking was a lot different. And be passionate. If you're not passionate about what you're doing, don't get behind the microphone because a listener can hear your passion. And if you're not passionate about it, whatever topic it is, if you're not passionate and you can't hold that passion for years, don't start because you'll set yourself up for failure. I think that is the biggest bit of advice I would give to a new podcaster. Secondary, I would say own everything. Own your website, own your domain name, own your RSS feed, own your email, the logo, everything. If you have a company coming in saying, hey, advertise with us, but we own your show, walk away. because that means they can do what they want with your show. And like the RSS feed, if the company you're hosting with just all of a sudden says, we're done, we're gone, you have to resubmit your RSS feed to everywhere else. But if you own it yourself, you can have it run into there, and then your RSS feed is the one that goes out to all the different catchers. That just makes it simple for the listener. They'll never know if you had to change anything. But this is your creation. This isn't anybody else's. Don't let someone else come in and steal it from you in any possible way.
Let's get into an episode discussion here. And when I say an episode, I actually listened to several of your episodes because you've got quite the back catalog. I'm not going to claim that I've listened to all of your episodes.
At one point, I did do I tallied up how many hours. And you, from when we first started talking about doing this interview till now, you still probably would not have caught up. I think I'm at about 230 hours of content out there.
That's amazing. So one of my favorite things to do when I'm, you know, prepping for an interview with podcasters is I love to go deep into their back catalog, and you go way, way deep. And so I listened to, I'm just going to call it your promo, your trailer. You called it the Barely promo. And then I listened to my first episode, which was recorded on iRiver while you were driving.
Oh, God.
My, how times have changed from a rolling studio to an office studio. I'm curious about that first episode. You had an iRiver and you were just driving around and you said, I'm going to make a podcast.
Yeah, that was actually advice I'd been given when I initially thought I would start a podcast. I had talked with a couple other podcasters at the time and I'm like, okay, how do you do this? I don't have any equipment. Like, oh yeah, go to like Circuit City. This is back when Circuit City existed.
Yeah.
And get what's called an iRiver. And I had just kind of gotten this kind of recognition at work, which came with a cash bonus. So I talked with my wife that day and I'm like, I want to buy something and I have this bonus coming. Can I use that bonus? And she's like, fine. So at lunch, at that morning, I ordered it. I went across the street to Circuit City and bought it and picked it up and then just drove around the neighborhood just being random. Not realizing where I was going with it. I had, honestly, it wasn't until I think episode 6 or 7 when I finally kind of realized this is what I wanted. This is kind of where my show was going. So I might as well just play it out. But oh God, that first episode. I do have to say, thankfully, you cannot listen to episode 3.
Oh, well, I'm intrigued.
Episode 3 revolved around, and it was while I was driving again, it revolved around my basement flooding. And I'm having to run to Home Depot, and this Home Depot, which is close by, doesn't have that. So I need to run over to this other one and all this kind of stuff and trying to explain it out. I thought it was good content. I did too much noise reduction to it. So the audio to it was atrocious. And this was the episode that got me onto iTunes. I had submitted, and at the time it was like, you needed 3 episodes in the can before iTunes would even look at you. So this was my 3rd episode. I had just submitted to Apple and it's like, please accept me. And I had 2 podcasters who were kind of listening and they're like, that was the worst audio you could have ever done. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't that bad. They're like, listen to it. Just put headphones on and listen. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it sounds like waves coming in and out of audio, and it didn't scrub the background noise at all. So when I'm talking, you heard it. When I paused, you didn't.
It did the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be doing.
It made it so bad, and people were able to find it for a while because I did take it down, but somehow it had kind of gotten out there somewhere, and I haven't been able to find it since. I still have that raw audio, but oh God, I'm never putting that.
You should set up a Patreon for that and like release it as a bonus episode for that.
Do you want to feel sick? I've got the solution for you. It's being seasick with your ears.
So, Barely, I feel like your humbleness, I'm going to call it that. I don't want to call you a dork, even though, you know, that's part of your tagline, but I feel...
my phone number for crying out
loud. I know, yeah. But I feel like underneath all of that, there is some very intentional production that is happening with your show. Like from the beginning to now, what the very strong string that I am trying to spit out of my mouth right now and it's not coming out, the strong component from episode one to now is your very strong storytelling. And so that's a very long way of me wondering and wanting to ask you, how do you go about episode creation? How do you approach that?
Ironically, very simply, I get into work every morning and I type up an email to myself, just label it show notes, and go through and just, if something happens, I email myself. And when I get in front of the microphone, I just have little blurbs here and there about episodes. Actually, I have my show notes from this, from episode 314, which I just put out on Sunday. And I wish I could show it to you, but I have kind of labeled under work lunch. I get lots of cheese for my soup. Boss notices for me for the meal and told I can only have a little bit. Waiter demands I get a lot more. Having to talk about the weather every time I enter the office. It's those little things. And then the way I do my show, because I'm a solo podcaster and in storytelling like this, it's always been rare that you'd have one person doing this. It's usually a banter. So there's a host and a co-host and they kind of all create the stories. What I do is I look at it as while I'm looking at a wall, I'm imagining it's a listener. And I explain the story out. And it's actually kind of nice because they don't interrupt. So I'll sit here and I go through and try to tell the story. How would I tell this if I were at a bar or if I were trying to tell it to my parents or just friends at work or something like that? How would I tell the story if I was not being interrupted? And so I just give myself these little notes to remind me what it is. And that's kind of my storytelling antithesis. That's completely the wrong word. Podcasters, we can't talk, can we? We just begin to jumble our words. But it is really kind of my prep with that, is just coming through and telling the story as it is. Trying to find the funny spin to it.
Well, very much like you are and your show is, that approach is truly original. I mean, I would have never guessed that. I mean, I did assume that you had notes of some type, but I love the idea of seeing you emailing yourself throughout the day of these funny moments that you're just capturing throughout the day. Oh, see, now I'm having a podcasting moment right here now, too.
This is where you use the editing feature. You
just right, like, yeah, exactly.
Pause, pause, and like, okay, cut, okay, go on.
I always love the idea of leaving those, you know, awkward moments in. And then when I'm editing, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not leaving that in there. So I'm really curious about what you're doing now that you wished you were doing way back in 2006.
Streamlining. Back in 2006, I would go through and I'd carry my iRiver with me everywhere. And I didn't do show notes. If something happened, I would duck off, I'd pull off the road, or I would duck into the bathroom or the storage room at work or something like that, and I would record the segment. And then after that, I would find bumper music and everything and just piece it all together and then edit out the ums, and so much post-production that it would almost take me a day to piece together a 30-minute episode. And I said, this is too much. So what I do now actually is I have, now that I have a nice rig set up, computer that'll handle everything, I have my iPad that I have all my bumper stuff on, so I'm literally just tapping a button and it runs it right into the mixer and then into the computer. I do the show live. It is completely live. So when I start the show and hit record, I go straight through till the end.
Wow.
All that energy. I do very little editing unless I do a massive screw up. That is a one take. Unless I screw up at the beginning. Because if I screw up at the beginning, it's like, oh, screw it. Fuck it. Let me just start over. But for the most part, it is a straight shot through. And I just hit the button. And once that hits, energy increases and I move. And then when it's done and I listen to the end of the episode and I hear myself talking about Creative Commons license, blah, blah, blah. As soon as I hear that end, the energy actually kind of drains away. Because at that point, it's like, okay, for half an hour, 45 minutes, I've been giving 110%. Now I'm tired. Where's a beer?
What is it that you want people to get out of your podcast? Why should they listen to your show?
One of those awkward pauses here, isn't that? My show, and I was just recently asked about this. I am most likely going into a podcasting network, which will help kind of expand the reach. And I'll be kind of helping them as well. But from my show, and I was talking with them about this as well, because there was a lot of inspirational podcasts. It's like, oh, you do this and it's going to encourage you to lose weight or quit smoking or stop drinking or be a better husband. Barely. What's your show going to be about? How you can be more of a dork. It's really just having that moment of, you don't have to worry about anything changing, or it's not life changing. It's, you want to have a half an hour or so of mindless fun a week, listen to someone who is just trying to get through life, but yet at the same time, weird stuff keeps happening around them, or stuff that you realize you've been through as well. And yet you still, it's like, wait a minute, that was kind of funny looking at it from that point of view. It's just mindless entertainment, kind of a reality show and a podcast almost. I try not to be that dramatic. I might try to flip a table though on the next episode, but kind of hard to do that on an audio podcast.
Now it is time for the time machine segment of the show. Let's go a year or two into the future. What are your hopes for your podcast?
My hopes that people are listening. I'd like to get a few more feedbackers, people who are calling up the voicemail line, dropping me emails. I'd like to get some new engagement on that. And I think that's really it. I'd like to get a couple more kind of engaged listeners. I appreciate every listener I get. And it's not saying the ones that I have now, I don't like them. No, one of them who actually has given me voicemail, he was the photographer at my wedding. So we're really good friends. But yeah, just some new people listening, coming up with new perspectectives. Because you never know where a bright idea will come from. And a lot of times it's the listeners. A lot of my show is from the listeners. If you were listening back, you can hear, I used to own the domain name Boob Sweat. And ironically, it was not porn or anything. It was coming from a listener who had called in to come, because I had a story about, I was seeing this woman. I mean, in like a 3-second engagement, I had this 5-minute long story about this woman at this job I had. She was kind of looked at me, then kind of reached her hand up into her blouse. And I'm like, oh my God, wow, what? This never happens to a dork like me. And then she pulls out her phone. She was using her bra as a pocket. And I had a listener call in and who worked retail. And she's like, I hate it when women do that because they'll pull out money with boob sweat. And so for the next 6 to 8 weeks, boob sweat came up every episode. Someone would call in and I had to make comment of it. And then someone would call in. And it's like, what's up with the boob sweat girl? Why? And so I was just like, you know, I'm just going to buy the domain name. And it went to my website. My intro was a friend of mine who was also a listener. And he came up to me one day. He's like, I made this for you. I'm like, okay. And I mean, he did together things from all over. My logo was another listener. Because I was going through all these weird logos and everything, just trying to come up with something I couldn't. And a listener just said, was like, here, do this. So my show is a lot about the listeners. I would like to get more of them, to entertain people, even if I never hear from them, but still to just entertain them, make someone's day even for 30 minutes a little bit better, and either say, wow, that was really funny, or thank God I'm not that guy.
So speaking of listeners, I have one more question for you before we wrap things up.
Okay.
Is there a famous person, someone of significance that you worship, so to speak, who you would be flattered to hear that they're actually listening to your show?
Oh, gee. I have never thought of that. Ironically, I have never thought of it. I think I've made mention of it and I pull out some like really weird name. Like, oh, it'd be amazing if George Lucas or something like that. I think it would go more along the lines, it would stay within the podcasting realm. Scott Sigler. He's just come up on, I think, 16 years of podcasting his books. And I'm listening to one now. I'm reading a second one. So I have all of his books. But if I found out that he were listening to the show, I would just be utterly floored. Because he was kind of one of my inspirations. He's an author. When he started podcasting, it was brand new back in 05. And he had a book that he just could not get. It was his first book and he could not get anyone to really look at it. So he's like, I'm just going to start podcasting this. I'll do it episodic. And now he has, I think, 14 or 15 books out. He's been on the New York Times bestseller list. And he has thousands of downloads every day just because he's putting this out. And it just started by putting out his book for free. So I think that would be, even though he calls himself a tech tard, it's like, really? You've been podcasting episodically for years while writing books and have this whole universe set up and you're a tech tard. And I love the guy. That would be the person that I think would be, if I knew he were listening, I would just be on the floor.
Barely, please tell us where people can learn more about you and your podcast.
My website is barelypodcasting.lol. I found they had that domain name, that domain out. I was like, oh, I've got to get that. But yeah, barelypodcasting at barelypodcasting.lol. Voicemail line, I have one of those, but all my episodes are up there. I'm on, let's see, I just found out I got onto Pandora, Stitcher, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you can subscribe to me is on the side there. You can see show notes from every episode I've ever done. The email is barely@barelypodcasting.lol. I have a Facebook page with just search Barely Podcast. You'll see the blue background with the barrel guy. That's my logo. And I try to put up stuff there. Occasionally I'll throw just a little blurb into that to try to get a little bit of engagement. If you do want to engage with me, I mean, those are kind of the best ways to do it and to listen to every show.
The name of the show is Barely Podcasting. Barely, it's been an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much for a great conversation. I wish you the best of success with everything that you do, including your show.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. I mean, this has been really enjoyable. I've enjoyed just kind of sitting down talking podcasting with a fellow podcaster who's, we're just trying to figure out how to get all this done.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. Thanks again, Barely.
Thank you, James.
Thanks again to Barely. Check the show notes for links to learn more about Barely and his show, Barely Podcasting. What did you get out of this episode? Leave a review on podchaser.com to let me know. Check the show notes for this and feel free to make suggestions for what I can do to make this show even better for you. And remember to subscribe and follow Podcast Tactics to learn even more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.